Medical Ministry, Section 11, The Sanitarium Family. Christians to be light-bearers. Christians are to be light-bearers, saying to all with whom they are brought in contact, "Follow me as I follow Christ." They are to be examples of piety, representing Christ in word, in spirit, in action, in all business dealing with their brethren and with strangers. They are to show that their actions are a copy of the actions of their great pattern. All this Christ enjoins upon his followers. They are to show the superiority of heaven's principles over the principles of the world. To send forth light and knowledge. In every sanitarium, there must be kept before all in the institution the principles of true service. From the institution is to go forth light and knowledge. All connected with it are to act their part intelligently, as representatives of the truth for this time. It is that they may be trained to do true missionary work that young people are brought to our sanitariums. If you will cooperate with God, He will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your reward. Heavenly angels will break forth into singing as souls receive the great gift of God through Jesus Christ. You may assure the sick and afflicted that Christ is the great healer. They may believe on Him and trust in His word, for it will never fail. Training for various lines of work. In the sanitariums, workers are to be trained, some of whom will be connected with the institution, while others will go out as medical missionaries. These, in whatever line of work they are to labor, whether as physicians, nurses, or helpers, should be firm upon the principles of health reform and all the points of our faith, that as they come in contact with the patients or go out into all the civilized world and to the regions that lie in heathen darkness, the truth of God on these subjects may be given to them. As these workers enter upon their duties, the efficiency of experienced men and women is increased a hundredfold, and the work for this time is far more rapidly accomplished. Proper persons need to be selected and trained, persons who will do honor to every branch of the work. The consecration of their talents must be very real, and then God will bless their efforts. He is the source of all wisdom and grace. In His strength, defects and ignorance may be overcome. Every physician, every nurse, every helper who has anything to do in God's service must aim at perfection, and under the discipline of the greatest teacher the world has ever known, his course must ever tend upward toward this aim. All who are connected with the medical missionary work must be learners. No one must stop to think, "I cannot do this." He must say, instead, "God requires me to be perfect." What did Christ say in regard to this matter? "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." No one who allows known defects to remain in his manners or his character is excused. Those connected with medical missionary work are connected with God's service, and they must try to reach His standard. He will give them wisdom and understanding. We are to show a superiority in intellect, in understanding, in skill, and knowledge, because we believe in God and in His power to work upon human hearts. Read the history of Daniel. The Lord would have His people reach the highest round of the ladder, that they may glorify Him by possessing the ability He is willing to bestow. He has a treasure house of knowledge from which we can all draw. Then let us realize our defects and improve under the instruction of God. Then the light and grace of God will be reflected to the world as the highest education, which sanctifies the receiver. The religion of Jesus Christ never degrades. It never makes men and women coarse and rough. Incorrect speech, wrong habits must be overcome. God would have every man correct in speech, correct in habits, possessing knowledge that will give him a standing place among men. I present this matter as the Lord has presented it to me. Let us determine to put ourselves to the task of learning in the school of Christ. The training of nurses. In the training of nurses, there must be an organized plan. They are learning a most valuable trade, and many temptations will come to them through offers of large wages and of places where they will have a better chance to earn money if they will go with some patient. This point must be guarded, or there will surely be trouble. Each one must have the spirit of self-sacrifice and self-denial, of which Christ has given us an example in his life. We are to feel our obligation to do the very best we can. Those who have many talents and those who have few are to work unitedly, as a wheel within a wheel, and if all feel their responsibility and accountability to God, they will do his will, acting their part according to his appointment. Put on Christ. There is not among us that simplicity that there should be. We should come to the Lord just as we are, humbling ourselves before him, and wrestling earnestly until we receive the Holy Spirit. Why should we not do as the disciples did just before the day of Pentecost? They sought the Lord earnestly, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Notwithstanding the opposition of the powers of darkness was so great that persecution arose, some even being put to death, the disciples witnessed for Christ, and large numbers were converted. Will you not all put on Christ, not to lay him off again, but to let his spirit stamp your mind and character? When all in this institution are truly converted, there will be just as surely a wonderful work done as when on the day of Pentecost the disciples received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Lord himself will be with you to teach and to lead and to guide. You will see of the salvation of God. You may be disheartened at times. Discouragements will arise, but it is your privilege at all times to lay hold of the hope set before you in the gospel. Watch unto prayer. Believe that God will help you to speak words that will cheer and encourage and increase the faith of those with whom you associate. No haphazard work. We cannot expect the blessing of God to rest upon us if we serve God at will and let him alone at pleasure. It is not necessary that we should cater to the world's demands for pleasure. There are other places in the world where people may find amusement. We need here substantial men and women. We need those who will reveal the simplicity of true godliness. We need men and women who are solid Christians, who will not feel that, if they have had some experience, they must therefore be highly honored. You may have a rich and living experience here, but the Lord cannot be honored by you while you think that it does not matter whether or not you are subdued in spirit or whether you are really converted. If the work here is to be sustained, we must have those who will carry responsibilities in the fear of God. A preparation for the kingdom of God is no haphazard work. You cannot be religious at times and at other times irreligious. Regular Bible instruction for nurses. Nurses should have regular Bible instruction, that they may be able to speak to the sick words that will enlighten and help them. Angels of God are in the rooms where the suffering ones are to take treatment, and the atmosphere surrounding the soul of the one giving treatment should be pure and fragrant. In the lives of the physicians and nurses, the virtues of Christ are to be seen. His principles are to be lived. Then, by what they do and say, the sick will be drawn to the Savior. Laying our burdens at his feet. The influence of the sanitarium family should be a united influence, each member seeking to become a power for good in that department in which he labors. If this result is obtained, there must first be a weeding out of every lame principle. Then the workers can hope to succeed in perfecting themselves as Christian workers. It is only as they place themselves under the discipline of God, conforming their daily lives to the pattern that they have in the Savior's earthly life, that they can become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. As long as we are here in this world, we are on test and trial. We will be held accountable not only for the working out of our own salvation, but for the influence for good or evil that we exert on other souls. He who is meek in spirit, who is purest and most childlike, will be made strong for the battle. He will be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He who feels his weakness and wrestles with God as did Jacob, and, like this servant of old, cries, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me," will go forth with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. The atmosphere of heaven will surround him. His influence will be a positive force in favor of the religion of Christ. I am so glad that we can come to God in faith and humility and plead with Him until our souls are brought into such close relationship with Jesus that we can lay our burdens at His feet, saying, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." The Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Our cold, faithless hearts may be quickened into sensibility and life until we can say in faith, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Let us seek for the fullness of the salvation of Christ. Let us follow in the footsteps of the Son of God, for the promise is, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In the daily round of duties, the manager of a sanitarium bears important responsibilities. Let his associates who are engaged in continuous hard labor in the various handicrafts keep their souls searched as with a lighted candle. Unity of action and diversity of labor must be maintained. The workers are to live out the prayer of Christ, who declares, "I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Let them read the word of the Lord, in order that they may have the wisdom that is unto salvation. The richest treasures are to be found by searching for them in the word. Some minds will be so impressed to seek these hidden treasures as to sell all that they have in order to buy the field and come into possession of the priceless jewels of truth. Oft-times, the most lowly are in possession of the hidden treasure which they may impart to others. The truths of the Word of God, applied to the heart and carried out with humility in the daily life practice, will make Christians strong in the strength of Jehovah and happy in His peace. Christian kindness and earnest consecration are constantly to be manifest in the life. We are not always engaged in special duties connected with sacred service, but the common daily round of duties may be done in His Spirit, and such labor will commend itself to every man, even to the unconverted who know not the doctrine. We may let our light so shine in good works that the truth which we cherish shall be to unbelievers spirit and life. Imitate God's perfect ways. Build for eternity. Christ's lessons are before us. We are to do carefully, neatly, and with exactitude whatever is to be done. We are to study economy in every line of work. Builders, gather up the fragments. Let nothing be lost. In all that there is to be done, in planting and building, imitate God's perfect ways. Nurses and physicians, think of Jesus. How careful He was of the remnants of food left after feeding the 5,000. By His thoughtful care, He would teach us order and economy. The great work of redemption weighed constantly upon His soul. As He was teaching and healing, all the energies of body and soul were taxed to the utmost, yet He noticed the most simple things in human life and in nature. His most instructive lessons were those in which he illustrated the kingdom of God by the simple things of nature. He did not overlook the needs of the humblest of his servants. His ear heard every needy cry. He was awake to the touch of the afflicted woman in the crowd. His divine nature, combined with the human, was so finely wrought that the least touch of faith brought a response. When he raised from the dead the daughter of Jairus, he turned to the parents and reminded them that she must have something to eat. The little things become great in accordance with the attention given them. The one talent is not to be wrapped in a napkin and hidden in the earth. Do what you can for the master. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. The master will use every talent that we consecrate to him. Your worth is determined by the faithfulness with which you do the little things. Everyone needs, in the details of daily life, to learn to build for time and for eternity. Then, at last, there will be written against his name in the books of heaven the most precious commendation: ye are complete in him. A sacred responsibility. If those who hold positions of trust in the institution are persons who love and fear God, they will realize that a sacred responsibility is theirs because of the measure of authority and the consequent influence which their position gives them. They are dealing with human minds, being brought into connection with all classes of society, and they should move discreetly, for they are regarded as representatives of the institution. They should be kind and courteous, ever exercising Christian politeness to all with whom they are brought in contact, both believers and unbelievers. Brethren, you should watch for souls as they that must give an account. We should never forget that Jesus, in the infinite sacrifice he has made for them, has proved his love for these men, women, and children, and shown what value he sets upon them. They are the purchase of his blood. The rich and the poor are to be treated alike, with unvarying kindness. Let your influence be persuasive, binding people to your heart because you love Jesus, and they are his. This is a great work. If, by your Christ-like words and actions, you make impressions that will kindle in their hearts a hungering and thirsting after righteousness and truth, you are a co-laborer with Christ. Your words and deportment are representing Jesus. Those who have a leading influence in the institution should be men and women who possess devotion and piety, who are not narrow and selfish, but conscientious, self-denying, and self-sacrificing, who have an eye single to the glory of God. They should be in the world, but not of the world. Men of such a character will keep the way of the Lord, and they will be constantly teaching others by precept and example. The results of right principles. The patients and guests all need to have right principles placed before them. There will be men of investigating minds who will thus receive the key of knowledge and will bring out treasures of thought for the enriching of other minds, thoughts that will be the saving of souls. Circumstances will call forth words, decisions in favor of the right, and many will be swayed in the right direction. Such is ever the result when the principles of right are implanted in minds by men who love righteousness, temperance, and truth. Words and works flowing from the love and fear of God become a widespread blessing, a blessing that is carried into the highways and byways of life. Men who, like Enoch, are walking in the light of Christ will exercise self-control, even under temptation and provocation. Although tried by the perversity and obstinacy of others, they dare not let impulse bear sway. If you are walking in the light, you will give evidence of divine power combined with human effort, and others will see that you are led and taught by God. You will feel that the Holy Watcher is by your side, taking knowledge of your words. Purity of thought must be cherished as indispensable to the work of influencing others. There must be a pure, holy atmosphere surrounding the soul, an atmosphere that will tend to quicken the spiritual life of all who inhale it. Chosen for the work. I wish to express to you some thoughts that should be kept before the sanitarium workers. That which will make them a power for good is the knowledge that the great medical missionary has chosen them for this work, that he is their chief instructor, and that it is ever their duty to recognize him as their teacher. The Lord has shown us the evil of depending upon the strength of earthly organizations. He has instructed us that the commission of the medical missionary is received from the very highest authority. He would have us understand that it is a mistake to regard as most essential the education given by physicians who reject the authority of Christ, the greatest physician who ever lived upon the earth. Harmony among workers. It is of the utmost importance that harmony exist in our institutions. Better for the work to go crippled than for workers who are not fully devoted to be employed. It is unconsecrated, unconverted men who have been spoiling the work of God. The Lord has no use whatever for men who are not wholly consecrated to His service. Qualifications of the matron. The nurses and student nurses should be under the charge of a matron who can be a guide and counselor to them. She should be capable of exercising wise supervision. She needs to be a woman of good health, not self-centered, but affectionate, unselfish, and sunny, one who can mold minds, not by being authoritative, but by being kind and thoughtful, and yet firm to principle. She must forget herself in her interest for others. The simplicity of heart religion must be seen in those who perform the services required of a matron. A woman of experience. The one who occupies the position of matron in an institution should be a woman of experience who, in an emergency, knows what needs to be done. She should be a woman of executive ability, a woman who is willing to bear burdens, and who daily goes to God for wisdom. She should be a woman who knows what the rules of propriety are and who observes them. To exalt the Word of God. The Lord calls for a solemn dedication to Him of the sanitariums that shall be established. Our object in the establishment of these institutions is that the truth for this time may through them be proclaimed. In order that this may be done, they must be conducted on right lines. In them, business interests are not to be crowded in to take the place of spiritual interests. Every day, devotional exercises are to be held. The Word of God is in no case to be given a secondary place. Those who come to our sanitariums for treatment must see the Word of God, which is the bread of life, exalted above all common earthly considerations. A strong religious influence is to be exerted. It must be plainly shown that the glory of God and the uplifting of Christ are placed before all else. To bring comfort and encouragement. In our sanitariums, of all places in the world, we need soundly converted physicians and wise workers, men and women who will not urge their peculiar ideas upon the sick, but who will present the truths of the Word of God in a way that will bring comfort and encouragement and blessing to the patients. This is the work for which our sanitariums are established, to correctly represent the truths of the Word of God and to lead the minds of men and women to Christ. Let the religious services held each day be short but educational in character. Present the Bible and its author, the God of heaven and earth, and Christ the Son, the great gift of God to the world. Tell the patients how the Savior came to the earth to reveal the love of God for men. Present before them His great sacrifice in thus coming here to live and die. Let it be known that through faith in Christ, every sinful human being may become a partaker of the divine nature and learn to cooperate with God in the work of salvation. Consideration for the thoughtless. Those who are connected with our sanitariums are to be educators. By pleasant words and kindly deeds, they are to make the gospel attractive. As followers of Christ, they should seek to make the most favorable impression of the religion they profess and to inspire noble thoughts. Some will be affected by their influence for time and for eternity. In the work of helping others, we may gain most precious victories. We should devote ourselves with untiring zeal, with earnest fidelity, with self-denial, and with patience to the work of helping those who need to develop. Kind, encouraging words will do wonders. There are many who, if a constant, cheerful effort is put forth in their behalf, without fault-finding or chiding, will show themselves susceptible of improvement. The less we criticize others, the greater will be our influence over them for good. To many, frequent positive admonitions will do more harm than good. Let Christian kindness be enjoined upon all. There is a science in dealing with those who seem especially weak. If we would teach others, we ourselves must first learn of Christ. We need broad views that we may do true medical missionary work and show tact in dealing with minds. Those who are really the least in need of help are likely to receive the most of our attention. But we need to show special wisdom in dealing with those who seem inconsiderate and thoughtless. Some do not comprehend the sacredness of the work of God. Those of the least ability, the thoughtless, and even the indolent, especially demand careful, prayerful consideration. We must exercise tact in dealing with those who seem to be ignorant and out of the way. By persevering effort in their behalf, we must help them to become useful in the Lord's work. They will respond readily to a patient, tender, loving interest. We are to cooperate with the Lord Jesus in restoring the inefficient and the erring to intelligence and purity. This work ranks equally in importance with the work of the gospel ministry. We are called upon by God to manifest an untiring, patient interest in the salvation of those who need divine polishing. Dealing with the unreasonable. When you jostle against the elements manifested by those who have no Bible religion, but only a profession, do not forget that you are a Christian. You greatly lower your influence and mar your own Christian experience when you lose your self-control and give them the least occasion to think that you have ill-treated them. Leave not this impression upon their minds if you can possibly avoid it. In this probationary time, we are forming our characters for the future immortal life. But that is not all, for in this very process of character building, we need to be extremely cautious how we build, for others will build after the pattern we give them. We may never know until the judgment the influence of a kind, considerate course of action to the inconsistent, the unreasonable, and unworthy. If, after a course of provocation and injustice on their part, you treat them as you would an innocent person, you even take pains to show them special acts of kindness, then you have acted the part of a Christian, and they become surprised and ashamed, and see their course of action and meanness more clearly than if you plainly stated their aggravated acts to rebuke them. If you had laid the wrong course of action before them, they would have braced themselves in stubbornness and defiance. But to be treated in tenderness and consideration, they feel more deeply their own course of action and contrast it with yours. Then you occupy vantage ground. And when you show a solicitude for their souls, they know that you are no hypocrite, but that you mean every word you say. A few words spoken in a hasty manner, under provocation, and which seemed but a little thing, just what they deserved, often cut the cords of influence that should have bound the soul to your soul. The very idea of their being in darkness, under the temptation of Satan and blinded by his bewitching power, should make you feel deep sympathy for them, the same that you would feel for a diseased, sick patient who suffers, but on account of his disease is not aware of his danger. Souls who have cost the life of God's only begotten Son must be estimated in value by the immense ransom paid for them, and rich or poor, black or white, must be treated in respect to the value Christ has placed upon the human soul. These thoughts are worthy of solemn consideration. Any neglect on our part, any exaltation of self, any hasty, passionate exaltations may set a soul on the paths of destruction, where he will never find the narrow path of holiness that leads heavenward. There are grave mistakes made in dealing with unbalanced, diseased minds. They are sick. They need a physician, not to cut them off as a diseased limb, but to heal them. Jesus' course of management is given in the parable of the lost sheep. Should Jesus deal with us as we deal with one another, not one of us would be saved. Oh, how many will be lost because the words that should have been spoken in tender forbearance were left unsaid. The dull student. Students who at first may seem to be dull and slow may in the end make greater progress than those who are naturally quicker. If they are thorough and systematic in their work, they will gain much that others will fail to gain. Those who form habits of patient, persevering industry will accomplish more than those of quick, vivacious, brilliant minds, who, though grasping a point quickly, lose it just as readily. The patient ones, though slower to learn, will stand ahead of those who learn so quickly that they do not need to study. Attitude of the instructor. While the students must be ready to begin with lesser responsibilities and give evidence that they can be trusted, he, the instructor, should feel for them the tenderest affection. He should not become discouraged at their ignorance, but should give them credit for all the good qualities he sees in them. In educating himself in this direction, he is obtaining a valuable experience, an experience which he needs in order to be a practical Christian. If the students make mistakes, let him not think them unworthy to be placed on trial again, as though they had committed sins that cannot be forgiven. He should kindly point out their errors, and they, in turn, should be grateful for a friend so faithful as to tell them their faults and how to correct them. To cast off the erring or to treat them coldly would not be doing as Christ has done for him. We are all fallible and need the pity and consideration and forgiveness of one another. He cannot find perfection anywhere and should not expect it, but he must bear with the perversity of men and try to teach them. This world, not heaven. Wherever persons of different stamps of character are associated together in any institution, there must be firm, determined effort to keep the institution pure, elevated, noble, that the wicked one shall not succeed in demoralizing it. There are unsanctified elements to meet, and if all are striving to do right and work righteousness and to be a blessing to each other, the objectionable features will be overcome. This world is not heaven. In our duties of life, we are not associating with angels, but with human beings who are liable to err. Cultivate an atmosphere of praise. Do not allow the helpers to overwork. Let the patients see nurses that are cheerful and bright, not nurses who, because they are overworked, are discouraged and downhearted. It is most inconsistent with the principles on which our sanitariums are founded for the nurses to be allowed to break down in their work. The workers are to practice the principles of health reform in all that they do, standing, walking, breathing, eating, and dressing. They are to surround themselves with an atmosphere of praise. They are to cultivate the voice, keeping it pleasant and sympathetic. No word of discouragement is to be heard. Let the nurses and physicians face the light. Let them open the windows of the heart heavenward, that it may be flooded with the beams of the Sun of Righteousness. Neatness and order. Everything connected with a sanitarium should be neat and orderly. Neatness and order will often have more influence than mere words. In the bathroom, everything should be so arranged as to make a favorable impression upon those who visit the institution. Gossip. There are some, both men and women, who gossip more than they pray. They have not clear spiritual discernment. They are far from God. When they talk with the patients, their attitude seems to say, "Report, and we will report it." Helpers who follow this course are to be labored with and reproved. And if they refuse to change their course, let them be dismissed. If they are allowed to continue in the institution, they will bring about a condition of things that will separate the Lord from the institution. It is far better to send away the rebel workers than to shut the Lord out of the institution. Let the helpers, in whatever department they work, be discreet. If they repeat all they hear and talk of all they see, they will be a curse to the institution. There are those who find delight in telling things to create a sensation. This is demoralizing to an institution and should not receive the least countenance. Rejoice in the Lord. The talent of speech is a precious talent. The riches of the grace of Christ, which He is ever ready to bestow upon us, we are to impart in true, hopeful words. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. If we would guard our words, so that nothing but kindness shall escape our lips, we will give evidence that we are preparing to become members of the heavenly family. In words and works, we shall show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, what a reformative influence would go forth if we as a people would value at its true worth the talent of speech and its influence upon human souls. The Sabbath meetings, the morning and evening worship in the home, the services held in the chapel, all should be vitalized by the Spirit of Christ. Each member of the sanitarium family should confess Christ openly and with gladness, expressing the joy and comfort and hope that are written in the soul. Christ is to be set forth as the chiefest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. He is to be set forth as the giver of every good and perfect gift, the one in whom our hopes of eternal life are centered. If we would do this, all narrowness must be set aside, and we must call into exercise the love of Christ. The joy we experience in this love will be a blessing to others. Deep earnestness and joy. I am bidden to say to the sanitarium family, let your social meetings and all your religious exercises be characterized by a deep earnestness and a joy that expresses the love of God in the soul. Such meetings will be profitable to all, for they will bind heart to heart. Let there be earnest seasons of prayer, for prayer will give strength to the religious experience. Confess Christ openly and bravely, and manifest at all times the meekness of Christ. The Lord would have the family of workers at Loma Linda channels of light. If we will keep the heart and mind opened heavenward, cherishing the comfort of His grace in the heart, the presence of Christ will be revealed. Let earnestness and zeal come into your lives. Make no backward movements. The Lord is our helper, our guide, our shield, our exceeding great reward. Do not allow levity to come into your experience, but cultivate cheerfulness, for this is an excellent grace. We cannot afford to be unmindful of our words and deportment. We all have very much to be thankful for. Let us open our lips in praise and thanksgiving to God. Let us come nearer to the Lord Jesus and acknowledge our daily obligations to Him. He has made it possible for us to secure for ourselves a very happy life, even in this world of sin, and holds out the hope of being continually in His presence in the kingdom He is preparing for His people. Should not these thoughts call forth from us praise and thanksgiving? The observance of the Sabbath. Genuine medical missionary work is bound up inseparably with the keeping of God's commandments, of which the Sabbath is especially mentioned, since it is the great memorial of God's creative work. Its observance is bound up with the work of restoring the moral image of God in man. This is the ministry which God's people are to carry forward at this time. This ministry, rightly performed, will bring rich blessings to the church. The physician not exempt. Often physicians are called upon on the Sabbath to minister to the sick, and it is impossible for them to take time for rest and devotion. The Savior has shown us by His example that it is right to relieve suffering on this day, but physicians and nurses should do no unnecessary work. Ordinary treatment and operations that can wait should be deferred till the next day. Let the patients know that physicians must have one day for rest. The Lord says, "Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." Let no man, because he is a physician, feel at liberty to disregard this word of the Lord. He should plan his work so as to obey God's requirements. He should not travel on the Sabbath except when there is real suffering to be alleviated. When this is the case, it is not a desecration of the Sabbath for physicians to travel upon that day, but ordinary cases should be deferred. God created the world in 6 days and rested upon the seventh. He sanctified and blessed the seventh day and made it His sacred memorial. Wherefore, He declares, "The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant." Those who do this, keeping all of God's commandments, may claim the promises contained in Isaiah 58:11-14. The instruction given in this chapter is full and decided. Those who refrain from labor on the Sabbath may claim divine comfort and consolation. Shall we not believe God? Shall we not call holy the day which He calls holy? Man should not be ashamed to acknowledge as sacred that which God calls sacred. He should not be ashamed to do that which God has commanded. Obedience will bring him a knowledge of what constitutes true sanctification. Let there be no robbery of God in tithes and offerings, no desecration of His holy time. Man is not to do his own pleasure on God's holy day. He has 6 days in which to work at secular business, but God claims the seventh as His own. In it, He says, "Thou shalt not do any work." The servant of God will call sacred that which the Lord calls sacred. Thus he will show that he has chosen the Lord as his leader. The Sabbath was made in Eden, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. God has placed it in our charge. Let us keep it pure and holy. At the peril of the soul. Those who, from whatever cause, are obliged to work on the Sabbath are always in peril. They feel the loss, and from doing works of necessity, they fall into the habit of doing things on the Sabbath that are not necessary. The sense of its sacredness is lost, and the holy commandment is of no effect. A special effort should be made to bring about a reform in regard to Sabbath observance. The workers in the sanitarium do not always do for themselves what is their privilege and duty. Often they feel so weary that they become demoralized. This should not be. The soul can be rich in grace only as it shall abide in the presence of God. If the rush of work is allowed to drive us from our purpose of seeking the Lord daily, we shall make the greatest mistakes. We shall incur losses, for the Lord is not with us. We have closed the door so that He cannot find access to our souls. But if we pray, even when our hands are employed, the Savior's ear is open to hear our petitions. God takes care of you in the place where it is your duty to be. But be sure, as often as possible, to go where prayer is wont to be made. Sabbath work. physicians need to cultivate a spirit of self-denial and self-sacrifice. It may be necessary to devote even the hours of the Holy Sabbath to the relief of suffering humanity. But the fee for such labor should be put into the treasury of the Lord to be used for the worthy poor who need medical skill but cannot afford to pay for it. The tithe. The men connected with the institutions of God's appointment should be careful to acknowledge Him in all their ways. To Him they owe their intellect and all their capabilities, and they are to acknowledge this. As did Abraham, they are to pay a faithful tithe of all they possess and all they receive. A faithful tithe is the Lord's portion. To withhold it is to rob God. Everyone should freely, willingly, gladly bring tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the Lord. In so doing, he will receive a blessing. There is no safety in withholding from God his own portion. An opportune place for backsliding. The sanitarium is a place which affords ample opportunity to backslide from God, to let self have the supremacy, and thus separate the soul from Christ and the holy angels. Neither physicians nor helpers should attempt to perform their work without taking time to pray. Build harmoniously. None of us can afford to sin. It is expensive business. Sin so blinds the eyes that evil is not discerned, and by their indiscreet actions, those thus blinded become instruments of unrighteousness to scatter for Satan. Watch against habits of sin. Keep a watch over the tongue. Watch for opportunities to do good and bless others, ever looking to Jesus, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. If you want the higher life, you must now live the higher life in the lower life of this world. We are working for time and for eternity. A well-built life is formed by living upon the plan of addition, laying up one grace after another in good deeds, in faith, patience, temperance, benevolence, courage, self-denial. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Learning of Christ, you will not be a jumble of opposites and inconsistencies, today sober and devout, tomorrow careless and frivolous. Christ has made every provision that your character may be harmonious through the grace given you. Then build it harmoniously. Let the structure rise, stone on stone. Catch the rays of divine light from Jesus, and let them shine upon the pathway of others who are in darkness. All the universe of God is looking upon us with intense interest. Changed into the divine likeness. To the young men and young women who are being educated as nurses and physicians, I would say, keep close to Jesus. By beholding Him, you will become changed into His likeness. You may have a theoretical knowledge of the truth, but this will not save you. You must know by experience how sinful sin is and how much you need Jesus as a personal Savior. Only thus can you become sons and daughters of God. Your only merit is your great need. Those selected to take the nurse's course in our sanitariums should be wisely chosen. Young girls of a superficial mold of character should not be encouraged to take up this work. Many of the young men who present themselves as desirous of being educated as physicians have not those traits of character which will enable them to withstand the temptations so common to the work of a physician. Only those should be accepted who give promise of becoming qualified for the great and sacred work of imparting the principles of true health reform. Modesty in deportment. The young ladies connected with our institutions should keep a strict guard over themselves. In word and action, they should be reserved. Never when speaking to a married man should they show the slightest freedom. To my sisters who are connected with our sanitariums, I would say, gird on the armor. When talking to men, be kind and courteous, but never free. Observant eyes are upon you, watching your conduct, judging by it whether you are indeed children of God. Be modest. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Keep on the heavenly armor, or else, for Christ's sake, sever your connection with the sanitarium, the place where poor, shipwrecked souls are to find a haven. Those connected with these institutions are to take heed to themselves. Never, by word or action, are they to give the least occasion for wicked men to speak evil of the truth. Not of the world. There are only two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. To one of these kingdoms each one of us must belong. In his wonderful prayer for his disciples, Christ said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. It is not God's will that we should seclude ourselves from the world, but while in the world, we should sanctify ourselves to God. We should not pattern after the world. We are to be in the world as a corrective influence, as salt that retains its savor. Among an unholy, impure, idolatrous generation, we are to be pure and holy, showing that the grace of Christ has power to restore in man the divine likeness. We are to exert a saving influence upon the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The world has become a lazar house of sin, a mass of corruption. It knows not the children of God because it knows him not. We are not to practice its ways or follow its customs. Continually we must resist its lax principles. Christ said to his followers, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is the duty of physicians and nurses to shine as lights amid the corrupting influences of the world. They are to cherish principles which the world cannot tarnish. The blessing of grace is given to men that the heavenly universe and the fallen world may see, as they could not otherwise, the perfection of Christ's character. The great physician came to our world to show men and women that, through his grace, they may so live that in the great day of God they can receive the precious testimony, Ye are complete in him.